After so long here, you kind of never know whether you need to put the pulpit at kind of Wayne Carlson height or whether you're going to have it at Paul Hill's height up there or something like that. Well, go for somewhere in between and maybe a few others. So my final message for you here at Plenishing Baptist Church this morning is entitled, if we can get the switch on, Finishing Well. Now, I recognise a sermon title called Finishing Well could perhaps be a note to self for me to only preach a 10-minute sermon. You know, all things are possible with God, but it's not going to happen today. But this mention of the sermon titled Finishing Well is not primarily about me. It's actually about all of us here at Plantation Baptist Church. And it's specifically about the race that God has called and marked out for each one of you to run. Now, looking over the congregation this morning, as I do each Sunday morning, I observe that there are a few spring chickens among you. But the majority of us, how can I put it, the majority of us are perhaps born at a more comfortable distance from the apostles. Now, immediately, I can see some of the hackles go up, you know. Is he calling me old? I think he did. He was just calling me old, the cheeky so-and-so. I'm not old. I'm middle-aged. Okay, middle-aged, I'll concede that that is maybe an appropriate title for some of you, an appropriate stage of life. But as someone once said, the middle age is when the broadness of mind and the narrowness of waist change places. So some of you might not want to be labelled as middle-age. You may say, I'm not middle-aged, I'm young. Well, you know, the only aggravating thing we can say about the younger generation is that we no longer belong to it. Or as Oscar Wilde said, the old believe everything, the middle-aged suspect everything, and the young know everything. And I remember when I was young once, about 200 years ago, when I was 18, and I'd just become a Christian. And I was chatting to a guy in the church who was in his mid-60s, and he'd been part of the church virtually all of his life. And he was telling me about all the different activities and ministries that he used to be involved in the life of the church over those years. And I asked him, you know, that's wonderful. What are you involved in now in the life of the church? And his response was something along the lines of, well, I'm not involved in anything now. I mean, I've done my stint. I've handed the baton on to the next generation. And I remember, as a kind of new Christian at the age of 18, that perplexed me a little bit. I couldn't quite get my head around how you had this notion of a Christian reaching a certain age, and then that's it. That's the end. They finish using their gifts. They finish serving the kingdom of God. Like it's some kind of spiritual retirement. And I remember thinking, why? Why would you run the majority of your race and then, in the last few meters, just give up? Well, God has something to say to each of us this morning about how we run the race and the importance of not slowing down or giving up. And we have a short video for us to watch that illustrates that. Thank you, Peter. Jason's going to give us our reading now from Hebrews 12. He might have a funny accent. He's been living up north for the last few weeks, so please do bear with him. Thank you, Jason.
Cheers, Doc. This morning's reading is from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Such a large crowd of witnesses is all around us, so we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go. And we must be determined to run the race that is ahead of us. We must keep our eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete. He endured the shame of being nailed to a cross because he knew that later on he would be glad he did. Now he is seated at the right side of God's throne. So keep your mind on Jesus, who put up with many insults from sinners, that you won't get discouraged and give up.
Now, why did I show you that video clip? Well, apart from it being very funny, it kind of shows you brilliantly the essence of what I want to talk to you about today, what a little bit that passage that just Jason read to us is about. Now, the good homiletics, the sermon classes we had at Bible College said, remember an old Lancashire preacher once said to me, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you just told them. So I'm going to try and stick to that. In Hebrews 12, it speaks about the unique and individual race that God's marked out for each one of us to run. The passage speaks about why we're running the race, how we are to run the race, what kind of race it's going to be, the things that we'll encounter along the way, and most importantly, the prize that awaits us at the finish line. Sorry, Phil, that's 4 points, not three. I messed up there. Now, I don't know what prize you're expecting. Maybe a cheap plastic medal, a thermal blanket, and a mug of hot chocolate. You know, some of you may sound, think, well, that sounds all right, actually. Or, oh, well, I was hoping for a little bit more when I finished running the race. I don't know what you thought when you watched that video clip. But as I did, I started to think about my own race that God's called me to run. My life here on earth before I reach the finish line of heaven. And I thought not so much about the race, but more the finish and what that image is going to be like. I don't know if you ever think about that. I found myself thinking, you know what? I don't just want to scrape through by the skin of my teeth. I don't want in a few years to subtly slip out of my race into spiritual retirement. I don't want to spend just my last few years here on earth coming to church and existing in some kind of spiritual Eastbourne. You know, when I cross that finish line, I want to be like that young guy in that cross-country clip. Only just making it to the finish line by the last ounce of energy I have. I want to arrive into heaven absolutely done for and spent, bruised, battered, with the very last breath that I have in my lungs. I want to throw myself over that line, roadkill for Jesus. Now, the truth be told, I know I'm only 53 years old, but I feel like that a little bit most of the time. My body is packing in. Everything aches. Maybe some of you can relate to that. Bodes well, doesn't it, for 3 months of arduous physical and psychological training, doesn't it? Sometimes life can feel like just one long process of getting tired. Don't know if you feel like that. Perhaps it's true, as someone said, that you spend the first half of your life being romantic and the second half being rheumatic. But Hebrews 12, the race. Do we have any avid joggers in here? Al, I know you did the London Marathon once, didn't you? That's pretty hardcore, that is. Any other keen joggers? No, you're all far too sensible, aren't you? Absolutely. I hate jogging. I always have, and I always will do. I am convinced that running is of the devil. My theory is that there was no jogging in the Garden of Eden. In the perfect created order of things, we didn't need to run anywhere. Jogging entered the world at the fall. Now, why I hate jogging is that feeling you get when you're short of breath, and you get that burning feeling in your legs. You feel like your lungs feel like they're going to explode. You get all dizzy and lightheaded and you have to just call it a day. And you walk back from the end of your street back to the house that you set off from 30 seconds earlier. I think my dislike of jogging started at school on those long cross-country runs that we had to do, instructed by our sports teacher, Mr. Woof. That was his name. Appropriate name given to a teacher who spent all his time in the sports pavilion barking orders at us. Now, I don't know where he did his teacher training, but there's a suspicion that it might have been in the German Gestapo or something like that. But we had these cross-country one we had to do up and around our school, and there was a really steep hill by our school. They have pretty big hills in Lancashire. It's not like East Anglia. And, you know, you would go on the cross-country run and exhausted, you'd be making your way back across the school sports field towards the changing rooms at the end. You'd get there absolutely shattered and then Mr. Wolf would shout at you, right lads, go again, one more lap. And you'd want to kill him. And I think that's where my hatred of running comes from. The three times in my adult life when I have willingly, of my own volition, gone jogging, and all three of those have been to get out of DIY jobs that Cherie set me to do, the only way I can jog any significant distance is to set mini goals. You know, you see that tree in the distance, you think, right, I'll just keep going till I get to that tree, and then when I reach it, we'll see what happens. Then you reach the tree, and you think, right, now that house there in the distance, I'll keep going till I get to that house, and so on and so on. You just set yourself mini goals. That's the only way I can make it back home. Maybe you go on runs, you do that. You know, as Christians, we can be prone to judging how well we're doing in our own races in comparison to how well other Christians are running their race. Well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I've got a little bit further than they have. I've been to more services and prayer meetings this year than that person has. You know, maybe I tithe more than that person does. Or my book collection is more holy than that person there. And the problem with that kind of approach is that, you know, the thing is, each of us has a unique race that God's marked out for us to run. That's what verse 1 of Hebrews 12 says. And it's not even an option of whether you're running or not, but more about whether you are running your race that God has marked out for you to run, or whether you're running your own race that you've marked out for yourself. Are you running that race, or are you running God's race for you? And even if you are running God's race, it's a question of how you're running that matters. Whether you're in tune enough to recognize God's markers as you run along the race that he's marked out for you. Or whether or not you run with perseverance. Or you run a little bit like I do when I'm jogging. You start well and you kind of put the energy in, but after a while it just gets a little bit hard. So you call it a day and stop and give up and pack it in. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not some kind of spiritual Ironman marathon runner. I find running God's race for my life just as hard as the next Christian does. But the good news about the race that God has marked each of you to run is that you don't have to run it unresourced. You're not running it on your own. As we run our races, what are some of the things that we need to be mindful of as we run? What are some of the things that are going to be happening around us as we run our races? Well, the first of those is the witnesses. Hebrews 12 verse 1 tells us it's a strenuous, demanding race that requires perseverance and endurance. Perseverance is not one long race. It's many short races, one after another. It's about being snails for Jesus. When you think about it, think of snails when it came to the flood. You know, by perseverance, a snail reached the ark. Or as Robert Louis Stevenson said, saints are sinners who just kept on going. So from verse 1 of Hebrews 12, depending on what version you have, I had the contemporary English version, which says, there is such a large crowd of witnesses around us. We are surrounded in the NIV by such a large cloud of witnesses. And I think this is one of the most beautiful and inspiring images in scripture. When I watched that video, you see all the people around cheering that guy on as he was crawling with the last bit of energy towards the line. Go on! You can do it! Keep going! And that, the reason I showed that, it's kind of like an image of heaven. Those witnesses that are around us. We're encouraged by the fact that we are surrounded by former contestants who are witnesses for us to the faithfulness of God and what awaits us when we get and we cross that finish line. And what the writer is doing here, he is bringing before us all of heaven's witnesses. Just like that video clip that we saw. And what witnesses God has gathered around us. If you read the previous chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11, that amazing list of witnesses, the greatest men and women of the Hebrew faith, legends of perseverance and endurance, excellent finishers. Every single one of them have heard those amazing words, well done, good and faithful servant. And what is their testimony? Their testimony is all around us, testifying to us in our present struggles. They are, if you like, whispering to us from heaven when we feel like giving up. They're saying to us, this race is so worth it. Keep on going until you reach the finish line. And their example, and those like them who we have seen run their races with perseverance and finish well, they are to be our inspiration in our own races. So we have the surrounding witnesses, and we also have the greatest example. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12 instructs us to look to Jesus, to keep our eyes on Jesus as we run our race. The greatest example in our own times of weariness and discouragement as we run our races is Jesus Christ. And there's an important point and note that we can miss here when we read this in our Bibles. Notice how in every version that you read, the name that we are given to the one that we're to look to fix our eyes upon as we run our race, is not, it doesn't say look to Christ, it doesn't say look to the Messiah, look to the Son of God. It says look to Jesus. I can't read that back there, I'm getting so bad with my eyesight. What's that say? There you go, that's the name of Jesus. We are to look to Jesus. Now some biblical commentators suggest that the use of the human name for Jesus here is done intentionally by the writer of Hebrews. Sometimes we can mistakenly think that life was easy for Jesus, because after all, he was the Messiah, wasn't he? He was the Son of God, you know, so yeah, that must have been easy for him to go through the things that he went through. Well, yes, he was the Messiah, he was the Son of God, but he was also fully human, just like we are. And the human Jesus knew what it was to get tired. He knew what it was to be exhausted. He knew what it was to get discouraged. He knew what it was to be worn out. He knew what it was to be fearful at times. He knew what it was to face fierce adversity and opposition. Do you think Jesus, in his race that his Father God had marked out for him, was ever tempted to slow down or give in or that the race was too difficult? Do you think that? What do you think? I think he probably was. He absolutely was. We get a glimpse of it in Luke as he writes in his gospel in 22 verse 42, where Jesus cries out to him in the midst of all that he's about to face. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Do you think there was a degree of agonizing for Jesus over the personal cost of the race that he was called to run? Of course there was. But despite those difficulties, despite those adversaries that he faced, Jesus persevered. He finished his race. And because of that, you and I reap the rewards. So we can have confidence that the one we cry out to for help, the one we fix our eyes on when the race is difficult, when we're facing struggles in our own race, he understands what it's like to run a difficult and sacrificial race. I mean, I can't imagine that there's anybody here that doesn't want to, at the end of their race, hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. When we throw our bodies bruised and battered over the finish line. But those words are not easily earned. They come at a cost. They come at a cost of great sacrifice to Jesus Christ. But those sufferings, those hardships, the cost of this world that we face in our own races are far outweighed by the glories to come when we cross the finish line. So what might some of those sacrifices in our races look like? Verse 2 says, for the joy set before him, or another version, because of the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. In other words, because he saw what he was going to win, what he was going to accomplish at the end of the race, he endured the cross. And again, some commentators suggest that for the joy shouldn't be understood as because of, but more accurately, it should be translated in exchange for or in the place of. So the verse in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 here should read something more like, instead of the joy set before him, he exchanged that for the cross. In other words, instead of having an easy life of heavenly bliss, all that he enjoyed with the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven, he exchanged that in order to be obedient to his Father and run the race that his Father had marked out to him and reach the finish line. And what were the words that Jesus cried out with his last breath as he hung on the cross? What did he cry out? There you go. It is finished. That's what he cried out. And in our races, we are yet to cross the finish line. But as we currently run, I wonder what are some of the personal sacrifices that we might have to make in order to win the prize. I can't help but wonder if sometimes in Western Christianity, we don't have it a little bit too easy. Someone once said, that which we obtain too easily, we esteem too lightly. I wonder what it is we are throwing off. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, throw off everything that hinders, things that impede us and get in the way as we run our races. And the word used there for throw off, for everything that hinders, is onken. Onken. They also make very nice live yogurts, I've been told. But onken is frequently used in classical literature for excessive physical weight or a burdensome load. I needed to get rid of some of my onken in order to pass the RAF fitness test. Your onken is anything or anyone that gets in the way of you running your race effectively. For the Hebrew Christians to whom this letter was addressed originally, their onken was the fear of persecution. Many of them were tempted to drop out of the race because of the fierce persecution they were facing. We don't have that here. We had an amazing service a couple of Sundays ago by Release International. A lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ, for them, their faith looks like what it did in Hebrew in the time of this letter to Hebrews was written. When it was written, those first century believers, our ancestors in the faith, part of the present cloud of witnesses, were about to experience the cruelty of Caesar's lordship and rule. As what had up to that point in Christianity just been social pressures, that gave way to physical assault, and for a lot of those Christians, martyrdom. These people facing that needed the assurance of their victorious and enthroned Savior, Jesus Christ. They took comfort and encouragement that their destiny was not in the hands of Caesar or his provincial governors or their local magistrates who would soon be signing many of their death warrants. No. Their lives and their eternal futures were in the strong hands of Jesus, their enthroned Lord, who had run his race and who had won their eternal salvation. The one who would welcome them one day over the finish line with these amazing words, well done, good and faithful servant. So whether you class yourself as old age, middle age, young, whatever, it is not your age. It is not your stage of life. It is not physical weakness. It is not any other circumstances that dictate or determined how and when your race is complete. It is nothing but the will and purposes of God for your life that will determine that. Every single person in this room today is immortal until you have finished and accomplished what God put you on this earth to do. Every single one of you. For the Hebrews, their onken was fear and the reality of persecution or martyrdom. Real persecution, not just being called a few names or treated a bit differently because they're a Christian. But today, perhaps we are tempted to give up or drop out of the race for other reasons. Maybe our priorities are not right. We're too busy. We have faulty perceptions. You know, we're too old. We've got to pass the baton on and let somebody else run the race for us. Maybe it's disillusionment. Maybe it's cynicism. Maybe something happened to you and you just can't move past it. There's this unanswered prayer in your life where you maybe felt God let you down. And as a result of that, you've given up in the race. Maybe you got damaged along the way in the race, either by enemy fire or by friendly fire. Perhaps you're just worn down from the circumstances of life and it's all just a little bit too difficult. Christianity has a lot of people who start well, but not as many that finish well. One person's onken might not be the same as another person's onken in this room. Sometimes it's only when you start to run your race with real perseverance and endurance that you realize what your onkens are, plural. You know, when you're slouching on the couch for Jesus, when you're standing still, when you're walking leisurely, your hindrances or your onkens don't tend to be a problem. They don't display themselves. But I tell you, if you really want to start running your race for Jesus, running God's race for your life seriously and with perseverance, if you want to see the forces of darkness impacted and the kingdom of God built through your life, then start to really run your race in this kind of way, you will soon find out what your onkans are. Your weights, your hindrances, the things that hold you back in the race will soon become very apparent to you. But as we struggle, as we wrestle and fight with these onkans, always in our minds should be these things. The great crowd of witnesses testifying to us of the faithfulness and the grace of God to assist us in running our races. They are cheering us on, like the people in that video to that guy, cheering us on from the other side of heaven. We should always have in the forefront of our minds the great example of Jesus, who, in his humanity, crossed his own finish line and won our salvation. And lastly, we should always hold in our mind the knowledge of what awaits us when we reach our finish line. The prize of hearing those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Paul, as he wrote in his letter to the Philippians about that race that each person is called to run, he said these words as he reflected on his own race, and he encouraged them to keep going in their races. This is what he says. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting what is past and looking ahead, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us heavenward. Pressing on to reach the end of the race, to win the prize of hearing those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Good people of Bluntisham Baptist Church, please never ever settle for an easy walk. Don't be like those people that I sometimes see out jogging. Who am I kidding? I am one of these people that go out jogging and run like this. I'm kind of doing a bit of a walk, not much of a run, but I see somebody jogging towards me or somebody kind of walking on the path and I start to sprint like I'm Usain Bolt, you know, and it's really easy. And as soon as that person's round the corner or they're not watching, I go back to a bit of a slight walk, you know, and recover. Don't be like that. Maybe you're old, you're middle-aged, or you're just a bit tired and feeling like you're past it in your own eyes. But remember, the good thing about being over the hill is that you pick up speed when you're going down that bit of it. You know, yes, it might be true when you think to yourselves that you're not as young as you used to be, but you're not as old as you're going to be either. So when it comes to running a good race, age is absolutely no barrier. Whether you're young or you're old, it's the limitation that we place on ourselves. You can't help growing old, but you can resist being aged. And as you grow older, you'll find that the only things you regret are the things that you didn't do. In Christ, it's never too late to be who you wanted to be for him or who you might have been for the Lord. Let's not be the kind of people that fall at the last lap and give up. Nor let us be the kind of people who hand the baton on to somebody else to run it for us. If for whatever reason you've taken yourself out of the race or you've stopped running, my challenge would be to you, get back in that race that God has marked out for you to run. And in my final sermon here at Bluntisham Baptist Church, I'm tempted to finish with my evaluation or summation of you as the people of God here at Bluntisham Baptist Church. That would be really interesting for me to do that, wouldn't it? But I'm not going to do that, don't worry. I instead want to finish with the evaluation and the summation of you all from one of your previous ministers, Nick Hudson. Most of you will know and remember with fondness the previous minister here between 2000 and 2012, Nick Hudson. And I remember in the first month that I was minister here about 10 years ago, I first met Nick. He'd come along to Wilf Chapman's funeral. That's Mary's dad, also a previous minister here at Bluntisham Baptist Church. And I was speaking to Nick after an amazing service remembering and honouring Wilf's life. And I thanked him for his faithful years of ministry here at this church. I mentioned to him how mindful I was that I would be building on the foundations that he had laid over many years of faithful service here in this church. And how it was a privilege to be taking on God's baton from him in leading this group of believers here. And it was after I'd said that to Nick that he said these words to me, and they've always stuck with me during my time here. Nick said, "This is a great church. The people here are lovely, but there is so much more within them that God wants to use for his kingdom. There is so much more within them that God wants to use for his kingdom." It was as if Nick was saying, yes, they are faithfully running the race that God has marked out for them, for the people of God at Bluntisham Baptist Church. But he longs for them to be more open and to go deeper into him. He longs for them to have a greater hunger and a desire for the things of God. He died for them so that he could run their races that he's marked out for them in even more effective ways for the kingdom of God and for the sake of the gospel. So my final message of encouragement that I want to leave you with as I move on to this next phase that God is calling me to run in my race that he's marked out for me is this. Give it your all. Give him your all, folks, so that as you cross that finish line, you're spent, you're finished, you are done for. And then as your face is in the dirt, as you're exhausted, as every ounce of your fiber is spent, as you look up at the end of your race and you see the face of Jesus, the author and finisher and perfecter of your faith, and his mighty arm reaches down to you and he picks you up and he puts his arms around you and he utters those words. He utters those words, "Phil, well done, good and faithful servant." He says, "Michael, well done, good and faithful servant." "Gordon, well done, good and faithful servant." "Wayne, well done, good and faithful servant." "Nicola, well done, good and faithful servant." "Ian, well done, good and faithful servant." All of you, I could be here all day naming every name. All of you, well done, good and faithful servants. We're going to close our service now with a fantastic Charles Wesley hymn. And I'm going to read the final verse to you. Guys, come on up. I'm going to read the final verse to you because it kind of sums up what this race we're called to run is all about. And that image as we cross the finish line. Well, the words of the final verse say, "Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. We cross that finish line where we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and praise."